Are you a woman ready to charge up her business? You're in the right place. This is the Power Plug Podcast by Fidelity Bank, where we believe in your POWER, the potential of women entrepreneurs realized, and all women with an entrepreneurial spirit. Each episode is filled with practical advice, tools, and tips to help you build your business and keep you energized. Now, for your host, Mary Foley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another special audio and video edition of the Power Plug Podcast. I'm your host, Mary Foley. You remember what it was like in BC? That's before COVID-19. Well, it feels like a long time ago, doesn't it? Well, whether it's mild or dramatic, chances are you've had to adjust your business to keep doing business and to stay in business. And you've had to pivot. And the pivoting is probably not over yet. That's why we're today going to be talking with four businesswomen in New Orleans that have learned how to use the power of pivoting to keep keeping on. And they're going to share what they've learned about how to do that in this difficult time. But before we dive in, have you taken a moment to subscribe to the Power Plug Podcast so you can literally stay plugged in to inspiration and information to help you run and grow your business? This is a free resource for all women in business. So please use it and please share it with your colleagues to help them as well. Simply go to fidelitybankpower.com, click on the Find Your Power tab, and look for podcasts. And in just a few clicks, you can subscribe and you can use either Apple Podcasts or Stitcher as an app on your phone to get the latest episodes. And if you want to, feel free to binge listen. Now, let's talk about the power of pivoting. I'm excited to introduce to you four powerful women in New Orleans who are really pivoting their business. And they're making it work. The first is Dr. Tammy Wilson Wilborn, owner of Wilborn Clinical Services, LLC. And it's a multi-service practice that provides counseling, workshops, consultation, and wellness coaching. The next is Norma Jean McLean. She's the CEO of Tech Chicks, a specialized IT staffing and consulting firm. And then we have Mindy Nunez Earhart, CEO and president of Southern Services and Equipment, a company specializing in metal fabrication, structural steel erection, and precision CNC machining. And our final guest is Natalie Barranco, co-founder and partner of Prime Business Advisory Solutions, a firm providing business consulting services in the areas of finance, accounting, risk management, internal control processes, marketing, and operations. Hey, gals, welcome to the Power Plug Podcast. It's so good to have you here today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, good. Well, hey, I've got a lot of questions for you. So I want to dive right in because I know that there's going to be a lot of women listening right now who, you know, they're trying to figure out how to pivot their business. And I realize it's not one size that fits all. And we can't for sure say this is exactly what you do, but knowing how you've done it and taking some lessons learned out of that for our own sake, I think it's going to be really, really helpful. So first thing is I want to paint a picture. And that is, what was your business like BC, I like to call it, before COVID-19? And what have you done to pivot your business because of the crisis and the quarantine? I like to call that AD, another dimension. So from BC to AD, what has that looked like for you? And Dr. Wilborn, let's start with you.
Sure. Thank you so much, Mary, for having me here. And I look forward to sharing with the listeners. So I'm a therapist. My business is wellness. And for me, what that looked like BC was I was meeting clients face-to-face in my office. And as a therapist for 20 years, I've always prided myself on having a practice where, you know, folks could come in and I create a space of safety and healing and growth in what I call the magic box. But when the world fell out, when the bottom fell out, March 13th, which also ironically happened to be the 10th year of my 10-year wedding anniversary, so the bottom fell out on my 10th year anniversary, I had to think about how do I maintain continuity of care for clients who undoubtedly were going to need to have a safe container for managing all of this uncertainty. And so for me, that meant turning my face-to-face business to teletherapy. and primarily having to operate 100% online. So it was a big adjustment. And luckily for me, many of my clients followed me, but it was an adjustment for sure.
Yeah. And I'm curious, your clients followed you and now you have a new box, right?
Yes, a new virtual box.
Right, right. And have they adapted pretty well to that?
I think so. You know, most of my, when I say follow me, I did not lose many clients. I think, you know, most of, I would say I was able to retain 90% of my clients, 95% actually.
Wow.
And I think part of what helped in the adjustment was, I say this, I sort of empathize and apologize along the way. So the empathy was recognizing that this was a different modality for how we were connecting. And I was transparent about that. You know, this is different for us. This is not our preference. This is not the way we've been connecting. And, you know, technology, it's great, but there's times when it doesn't work. And so I sort of empathize, right? It doesn't always work. And so I empathize with the frustrations of having to connect in a virtual way and certainly apologize when it didn't always work. But I think doing a little bit of what I would call pre-work, which is addressing their concerns, you know, explaining to them what the process was going to be to connect, giving a little grace when things didn't always line up, I think really helped clients to not only transition, but I think also feel like they were still getting from me the same quality of service. We're just connecting virtually.
Right. Yeah. That sense of value is really, really important because that's what we're always doing in business. We're exchanging, you know, something that they need, or they're exchanging something they need for also compensation. Natalie, what is that looking like for you and your business?
So in our business before COVID BC, I mean, we are trusted strategic partners to our clients. So we can be helping in an accounting piece or an operational piece, but we were working from home. We work in their office. We have an office, but we are remote workforce to begin with. So we were kind of doing that already. So when this transition took place, it was easy for us to transition our clients to that remote space because we were already doing some of that. You know, we can log into their systems from our homes and things like that. And so we kind of already had two components. But the third component in our business, the reason my partner and I founded this business was so that we could have some balance. So we could work on the things we wanted to work on, work with the clients we want to work, but not work, you know, 60, 70 hours a week. But in our new AD world, things are changing so rapidly and our clients' needs are just 24/7 that we have had to kind of adapt our model to where we're more accessible because they're stressed out and scared and trying to make decisions for hundreds of people and they need our advice. They can't wait, you know, days to get that advice. And so we've had to kind of pivot by being more accessible. And we were accessible. We prided ourselves on that, but we had some boundaries that we tried to stick to, right? So if it's at 5 or 6 o'clock and I'm at, you know, a kid's sporting event, I will call you later. Well, now your kids are around all of the time. So our consultants are used to working from home, but we're used to being alone at home. So this kind of company that we're now keeping, our new coworkers, we're trying to, you know, just still have that compassion for our staff and to understand that sometimes a little one's going to pop in a video or something like that. And that's just okay. It's just, you know, what it is. And we can still provide that service to our clients. So it's just we've just re-emphasized that strategy piece and that partner for our clients. Even more so than what it used to be for them.
I'm thinking too, the fact that you were already operating so much virtually, there is now a new added value to the fact of, let me give you some advice or here I can help you through about adjusting to that new environment. I mean, for them, that was probably something that wasn't on your list of here's the things we can help you in the future on how you can do something, some teleworking or using some virtual working, but that's become the case.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely, you know, when you think of like opportunities, I mean, we were already working virtually. We have a project management system. We have cloud-based storage, right, and all of our stuff talks to each other. And because we can go with some of our consultants. I may not see them for 6 months. We never see each other face to face. We do everything through Zoom and through all of those things. And so when the March 13th kind of happened, my first 2 to 3 weeks was on running, you know, training sessions with our clients on how do I need to implement a project management system like yesterday. So, you know, how do we set that up? And those are things that we've been, you know, kind of perfecting on our end for so 5 years. So we're trying to give crash courses and, you know, how it works and how to lean on this technology. So we've been doing a lot more teaching and a lot more educating, not only on the alphabet soup of federal programs that's out there, but also on these other technology things that can really help, you know, how do you manage a workforce from home? You know, we've been doing that for a long time. So it doesn't matter if my consultants are working from 9 to 5, it's the performance, that measure, that deliverable that is my concern. And if they do that at 2 in the morning or 5 in the morning for my early risers, my late sleeper, you know, what, it doesn't matter. It's the work product that is the goal.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Wow. But it's definitely a shift. And I was thinking when you were talking about, you know, kids, both yours, it sounded like, as you know, in that lifestyle, as well as some of your clients. Mindy, you have a couple of young kids, right? So I'm curious how this has impacted you and your business.
Sure. Well, thanks. Thanks for having me too, Mary. And having kids at home 24 hours a day is tough. It's definitely been a challenge. Traditionally, I am at my construction office 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. But since my children are small, I've had to stay home with them. So I luckily have a great team at the office that's actually able to be in the office, and I can work remotely. Construction is considered an essential service, especially mm-hmm. in Louisiana, not in all states, but thankfully it is essential here. So we are still working. And because we manufacture products, we actually have to have people in our facility doing the manufacturing. Mm. Of course, we're doing social distancing in the production facility. Everyone's pretty much more than 6 feet apart anyway, traditionally. Mm. So I think the biggest change to my business is that I am not in the office.
Yeah, so you're not there, but work is still going on. And I'm just curious, that's a kind of how it operates, but the contracts, did those change because, you know, like I'm just curious. I mean, a lot of times I think you'd said they were long-term contracts, but did you keep all your business or did it change in that way? Add to, delete from?
Right. Most of our contracts are large projects that have long lead times. The financing has to be in place and then there's a bid selection process. So no, none of them have really changed. I have heard that some projects that were in the early stages have now canceled. And I know that financing those large projects is going to be an issue in the future. So thankfully, none of our projects have been canceled.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you were fortunate to be in one of the services businesses that were essential, but then you also still have to make that transition to make it still work. Okay. Certainly last but not least, Norma Jean, what about the whole business with staffing and the work that you do? How has that changed? What's the BC and the AD look of that?
So, unlike the other panelists, our business was heavily impacted immediately on the 13th. So, we had a number of offers out, pending offers that had to be retracted. And so fortunately we were able to manage where people who had received offers that needed to be put on hold, we were able to help get them back into the job that they had resigned from, and everyone, you know, landed okay. We do direct hire, we do contract to hire, and we do contract IT resources. All of our contract IT resources are still working, so that's great. So we're able to maintain that that steady state, working closely with our clients on how we can come up with creative ideas on to how to retain the employees and also address potential budget issues that that arise through this. So we've always been, we're very focused on strong relationships with our clients and our consultants and a trusted resource. So, that being our MO, we were able to work closely and work out terms that worked out for everyone and keep everyone employed. So very, very excited about that. And that's really our mission daily, is to keep people employed. I'm sorry, were you going to ask me a question?
Well, I was just thinking to myself, okay, so I know that, or I've heard, and we've had conversations where in IT in particular, people can tend to be pulled away to another opportunity, right? And so has that, is that increased where people want to leave or are willing to leave even more so, or are lured away? Is there more fight for talent than ever before because of this quarantine?
So we're anticipating that. Right now, people are in a wait and see mode.
Okay.
Unfortunately for New Orleans, GE has announced last week that they're pulling out, and they do have a large IT population here. So we've been talking with a lot of those people. They're leaving June 29th is the last day. So we're trying to pre-market those people, and for clients that I know will need someone, they're not ready to pull the trigger now, but getting them in front of opportunities proactively. So hopefully that we can help as many of those people, especially New Orleanians who want to stay here, land in a good role in this environment. So there's, a number of things going on. We had the COVID-19, but now we're going to start seeing, in IT. In other industries, we've seen a lot of layoffs. IT, your need for your technical infrastructure doesn't go away, regardless of how many customer service people you need. Yeah. So that demand we don't see diminishing. It's going to be the companies that are just failing completely, where resources are going to become available. But in terms of recruiting people out, no, nobody really wants to talk about changing a job right now if they don't have to. Everyone's really kind of clutching to what they have right now.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Because I was wondering, for all of you, do you think that the pivots that have been made, even if they're small, for your business, because everyone's made some adjustments, do you think they're permanent, or do you think it's just really temporary? And I'm, since you were just already talking a little bit about your business, Norma Jean, can you dive into that and just say, do you think this is permanent or temporary pivot for your business?
Well, mine is what happens in any, we went through a very similar situation in 2008. Mm-hmm. So this isn't different for my industry than a typical recession.
Okay.
And what ends up happening is that there's not as much direct hire, it's more contract hire, but the need for IT people doesn't go away. So it looks a little different. I think what will be a big concern there is healthcare, because a lot of people don't want to do contract because they want to work for a company where they have healthcare. So in that case, because this, I think it's going to take a little while longer to sort out economically, that we have to figure out how to provide healthcare that we're not currently doing right now.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when I think about my practice, so, again, I was the person, I'm also a former professor at UNO, and I can remember talking to my students about technology and trying to be neutral about teletherapy, but knowing that I had a bias against it. And because I just have a preference for face-to-face, but I have been, ladies, I have really been surprised at how much I have enjoyed teletherapy for the accessibility, the convenience. It's a perk that I can end session and go in my kitchen and grab a sandwich, right? Mm-hmm. There's a perk to that. And so I have seriously been thinking about, is this mode of delivery something that I want to make full time? Or do I want it to be a part of my business so that I can provide both face-to-face and teletherapy? But I guess I think in addition to that as a pivot, this also happened around the time that I've been preparing to start a group practice. I'm in sort of the conceptualizing phases of a group practice, bringing on more therapists. And so now it's got me thinking, do I want to do that? But if I do that, does that look like a teletherapy practice? Does it look like, you know, what does that look like? So I have, I really appreciated the pivot for the flexibility and the freedom, but more importantly, I've appreciated that my clients have still been able to get the same, you know, continuity of care and quality service. And to me, that was the thing that I worried most about is, will my clients still feel the connection virtually? And many of them have all self-reported that they felt it. So that's the other piece, is that my clients are getting what they need.
Yeah, because if they were saying, oh my gosh, I can't wait till, you know, the quarantine is over, you would be going, well, I'm going back to in person, you know, in the way I was doing it before. This gives you potential options. Well, Natalie, I'm wondering with you, you know, do you think that the changes that and how it's impacting your clients is going to continue to change your pivoting that's happening with your company?
Yeah, I think it will, because I think that this is going to change the way we operate. And so whether your business is going to have to change that model, or if your business is fine, but if you deal with the public or you deal, how you deal with them is going to change. And so a lot of strategy around, like right now, we're just trying to get people to feel a little as settled as they can feel with what's going on now. So are my employees taken care of? Is my business either doing what it can be doing, or is it sitting here doing nothing? But like, are we in a think tank, right? So we are trying to think of, what does it look like when we come out? You know, no ideas are bad ideas. Let's just all sit around and try and figure out what it could look like and how it can be different. And so we do a lot of that already. And that skill is becoming so much more valuable than my CPA and my accounting background, because we can go record transactions and look back all we want, but that has nothing to do to prepare us for what's coming up. And so, you know, it's a constant talk about shift and what does that look like? And it looks different for everybody. And what helps us is that we're in so many different industries that we can hear what this one's doing over here and say, you know what, that little piece would work for this client that's in a completely opposing industry that you would never think have anything in common. But there are some synergies. And so, you know, we're able to kind of almost get to like a best practices standpoint for what this looks like. And I think it's just what we've been challenging everyone to do, is you've got to look at this differently. If you're not doing that, my fear is that you're not in business in 2021, if you're not doing something. And so, and you know, we have kind of history in New Orleans to look back and see how this worked. This is, you know, it's different circumstances, but it's very Katrina-like. And, you know, you can see, look at what New Orleans was able to do as a community, you know, entrepreneurs, a lot of us sitting here probably were not entrepreneurs then, because that wasn't as accepted. It wasn't, there wasn't a mechanism to do that. And so this has all been out of that very disastrous time period that was very hard for a lot of people. And so kind of pulling into those things that you did then, you know, there's a lot of things that happen now because of that. I worked with the World War II Museum and that time frame, and they developed a behind the lines tour. And that's the tour where you can get in the stuff. That wasn't, didn't exist. They needed alternate revenue sources, and their team thought of a bunch of things, some not as good as others and never saw the light of day, but some behind the line tours, getting to see their artifacts, you know, those kinds of things were born out of those conversations. So we've just been challenging our clients around that, and that, you know, if you've not wanted to partner with someone like us because your accounting is all in hand, that's great. We do a lot more than just that, and we can be of a lot of service around that. And just continuing, you know, to try to be as accessible as we can. We obviously, at some point in terms of my business personally, you know, we can't be, you know, accessible 24 hours a day. And while the need for us is extreme, these businesses can't always pay for us right now. So, you know, while there are a lot of businesses that are super busy, we happen to be one of them, but that doesn't mean that the cash flow is there as well. And so, you know, it's that constant struggle between the pull I personally have to help as many people as we can with what I can actually do, because I do still have to pay my people and pay for, you know, our overhead and things like that. And so I think my specific challenge is how long can you sit in this kind of educational spot trying to help everybody get what they need before, you know, you have to really take a look at, you know, we still have to have things get paid for.
Kind of that pivot more to profit. That's what,
you know, right. Right.
Pivot to help out, yeah. Pivot to, you know, to stay afloat, pivot to still be there, but then it's the pivot to profit. Yeah.
Right.
Mary, can I piggyback off of what Natalie said?
Sure.
Because I feel like what Natalie said is so critical. I think especially for women in business, the idea, two things I think that Natalie said that feel particularly true is, one is the ability to sort of change your perspective, right? Mm-hmm. To sort of lean into the change that's presented itself and what opportunities are open because of the space that you're in. Because I feel like a lot of what I've seen, most of my clients are professional women across industry, some of, you know, entrepreneurs and such. Mm-hmm. And what has allowed them to be well in this moment is looking at what I call this a pause. It's a pandemic, but I call it a pause. Mm-hmm. Looking at what this pause has created in terms of, you know, the opportunity to do something better, the opportunity to do something different, the opportunity to do something new, rather than focusing on specifically what you cannot do, what does the pause allow you to do, right? And so having a change perspective opens that possibility up. The second thing that I think Natalie said that feels super important, this is a good time to be creative. And I think it's related to the change perspective, right? So business as usual perhaps doesn't really exist. But is there a creative way, right, to now do the thing that you've been doing or to do something different that adds to your, you know, to your profit or adds to your product or adds to your service? And so having an innovative space, right, allows for you to really just, I think, level up. This is that space. And I just wanted to just kind of piggyback off of what Natalie said, because I think the changing of the perspective and being creative, super important.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure all of us can relate to, if we aren't open to changing our perspective, there's no way we can really be creative. Right. And we don't even have the drive for problem solving. Well, I'm curious, you know, Mindy, here you are with a business that is long-term contracts, right? It's probably a slower moving pace of things. And, so when, you know, if this, you were nodding a lot when Natalie was referring to Katrina, right? And you're like, oh yeah, we had to make a lot of pivots. I'm curious, when it's possible or it make more sense for you to be able to go back to the office, are you going to do it in the same way that you did before all this happened?
one of the great discoveries that I've made during this time is that I'm not needed at the office as much as I thought I was. So that has been something that I've had to digest, because I take a lot of pride in my career and my company, and I love my employees, but I guess I've given them the tools to do what they need to do, and they've taken them and they've run with them. Mm-hmm. But when we talk about Katrina, I started working for my parents for this business that I've since bought from my parents, but I started working for their business when Katrina hit. And it was just such a, an education, a really quick education in how to run a business, because obviously construction was really needed after Katrina. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't even planning on going into the family business, and that's the reason why I eventually went into it. So I think people in New Orleans have a greater experience with the sort of chaos that a disaster can wreak on a community. But we also have the history of really coming together in spite of that.
Yep, that's true. And Norma Jean, I know you have been in New Orleans a long time. You've been through Katrina. You've been through 2008, the crisis there, as you were saying. Now we've got this. You've been through this more than once. Big shifts, big pauses. I love how you said that, Dr. Wilborn, pauses. I'm curious, let's say, we've talked about opportunities and what could be there. What about mistakes, though? Norma Jean, what do you think are some of the biggest mistakes women in business could make right now when pivoting her business?
It's fear. It's being scared. Mm. And I feel like we from New Orleans have, and had it for 2008, that kind of resilience that we built up, you know, having your whole world ripped out from under you in one day, and then watching it all come back, you know, it builds a level of resilience that we're fortunate to have and that I would pass on to anyone who hasn't had to go through that kind of struggle before, that you can have go through serious chaos and come out on the other end, even when you're surrounded by it. So, you know, have your moments to freak out and then get over it and move on and think about exactly, I think everybody has said this in one form or fashion through this conversation, is not what you can't do, what you can do. Mm. And I feel, you know, Natalie really touched on something, talking about, you know, that you're a business and you need to maintain a livelihood. At the same time, people really need what your expertise is right now. And so trying to find that balance of how to help, but also survive, I think is real. And it is, it's a struggle. But I think, you know, just embracing everything that comes at you, as cliche as it might sound, is the way to ride this wave. I love that I'm on the phone with people all day, as I know all of you are. But the optimism that I hear for the most part is, mm-hmm. is great. And I think that's going to carry us through this and we're going to rebound. So that's the mistake that I would caution people around is getting terrified into paralysis.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. When you said ride the wave, I thought, and get a surfboard, right?
That's right.
what other ideas about mistakes or things, you know, to avoid when it comes to pivoting? Because there could be some women listening that are going, this is my first time around having my own business, and now this big pause has happened. And, you know, cash flow is a really big crunch. So any advice around that you might want to chime in? Anyone?
So can I just say, sure. My first thing would be, as soon as we saw in the same thing in 2008, as soon as we knew there was going to be impact, it's reassess your cash flow. Understand your finances before you do anything. And we have been so busy since we started, thankfully, I'm so grateful for that. But I hadn't really taken time to put a fine point, you know, on mm-hmm. where we're spending money. So one, you know, eliminating unnecessary spending. Two, understanding how this economy is going to impact my industry. Ensuring that I have the right cash flow. So in terms of, you know, getting the PPP loan, other financing that I need to be able to do that pivot. You can have the great solution, but if you don't have the infrastructure to support it, then it doesn't work out. So yeah. I'll stop talking.
No, those are great points. Yeah. Anyone else want to chime in about mistakes?
You're asking about mistakes, but I was going to sort of respond to, or at least follow up with what Norma Jean said. But I think the biggest mistake is not controlling the controllables. Mm. I'm a mental health and wellness expert, right? And so part of what this pause has created for us is a sense of loss of control and helplessness, mm-hmm. right? And the fear that Norma Jean is talking about is fear of, you know, the things that we can't control, fear of the unknown, the uncertainty. And I think what I've seen in terms of mistake from the folks that I've been working with, whether it's as a consultant or as a clinician or otherwise, is that, you know, this is not the time to give up on the stuff that you have control with, like your mental and physical health, right? This is not the time to not take care of the basics of your mental and physical health. This is the time to get sleep. This is the time to get exercise. This is the time to stay hydrated. This is the time to, if you have time, when I get off of the call with you all, I'm going to go lay in my hammock, right? And look up at the sky so that I can sort of decompress. And so the mistake is missing out on taking care of those basics of mental and physical health, like not prioritizing that. But also, I think when I think of controlling the controllables, right now we have more control of our schedules, right? So I've seen women trying to make an 8-hour office workday at home with kiddos and partners and pets and all of this other stuff. That doesn't work. Right? Let go of this idea that you can have the same type of business as usual at home. That doesn't work. Control your schedule in a way that allows you to get your work done, but it also allows for you to take care of yourself, take care of your family, take care of the things that matter. So that would be sort of my last thought is, you know, this is not the time to not control the controllables. This is the time to look for those things that you can control and control them.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That in of itself is a huge life lesson, isn't it? That we all came out of this better at controlling our schedules and the things that we can control and our well-being. I mean, wow, that's a great upside. That's a great hidden opportunity there. Wow. Natalie or Mindy, you want to add anything to mistakes of things to avoid? Or maybe the flip side, like Dr. Wilborn did, which is absolutely fine too.
Well, one of the mistakes I think a woman entrepreneur could make is not educating herself about what the economy is going to look like for her business in the future. I've been really spending a lot of time looking at financial projections, projections of the economy, and trying to decide where I want my customers or what industry I want my customers to come from in the future. We primarily do commercial construction, which is schools and office buildings and apartment buildings. You know, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of commercial construction in the next couple of years, but there's probably going to be government contracting. That's probably going to rise. So it's my job as the CEO to figure out, okay, which industries are going to be spending money and which industries are going to be cutting back. And then I need to go and I need to pivot and I need to go after those industries. So I think just keeping your eye to the or your ear to the ground as far as where your customers are going to come from in the future.
And are you looking any particular place or how are you approaching trying to figure out those trends?
I am just reading as much as I can. Okay. It's tough for me. I'm not a financial wizard by any means, but I am just trying to read as much information I can get my hands on and try to just process it myself.
Good.
And also asking friends, asking people who I respect and think that I have that type of knowledge. Mm-hmm. I've been asking for advice.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think what Mindy said is great, and I think it leads to like what I'm suggesting is understand like your customer base, right? So what are they looking for, and what are they gonna be looking for when they get back? If I use my own business as an example. You know, our customers right now, they want to be able to talk to us immediately. You know, they want information. If we're not giving them a little touch, like where their application is in the process or where this or where that is or these little check-ins, they start to get nervous. And then they start sending, you know, fitting rapid fire questions and things like that. So us being proactive helps give them a sense of this is where we are. Like, I got you. This is what we're doing. Now, if I let myself do that, just me. I mean, there's no way for me to do anything else. I can't do all the self-care that Dr. Wilborn talked about that is critical to me being able to service them. So I have to get my team involved and I have to give them the tools and make sure they're trained and they're empowered to where they can communicate to those clients as well as me. So it just doesn't all fall to me. So I think just looking at that and, you know, women just in general tend to have that tendency, like I'm going to, you know, take it all on and you know, that you have this kind of infinite amount of things to give and you don't. And this is going to really make that show because you're not only, you know, if you have your family at home with you, you're not only running your business, not the CEO, founder, you're also, I'm a second grade teacher, I'm a preschool teacher, you know, my husband's trying to work, we're sharing a space, you know, it's all of these things that weren't normally a part of my everyday life. If I try to do all of that and be that same person to all my clients, you know, I'm going to last about another 2 weeks and then you're going to have to scrape me off the ground. So, you know, just really understanding that. And so for Mindy and her business, that's looking at those economics and looking at what is the best place to focus her energy. But, you know, for a retail operation, that might be different. You know, how do you get, you know, maybe customers don't want to come in your store so much. Maybe online ordering is a little too distant. So what's that compromise in the middle? Mm-hmm. You know, is it that you're trying on clothes and you're showing them what it looks like? Or, you know, you have like a stylist and this is a closet we put together and this is what it looks like, or, you know, things like that. So I think it's really listening. You know your customers really well, but take off those blinders and hear what they're going to want, the trends are kind of going to be going forward.
Well, and one of the things I really love about what you just said, Natalie, and what's true about the Power Program with Fidelity is about asking. It's about connecting and asking and relationships and asking good questions and really listening. And I think one of the things that's great about, you know, what the Power Program is about and this podcast is about sharing ideas amongst women in business in the New Orleans area, which we're doing right now, and that connection. And so I want everyone who has been listening and watching to say, if they want to get in touch with any of you powerful women, how can they do that? So I want to share with everyone how to get in touch with our power panelists. And for those who are listening, the audio, we'll also have this on the show notes that go along with the audio podcast. But I'm going to also just go ahead and give everybody's domain name so you could check them out there. So Dr. Tammy Lewis Wilborn is at wilbornclinicalservices.com. Norma Jean McLean, you can find her at thetechchicks.com, which is the and then T-H-E, and then tech is T-E-K, and then chicks is C-H-I-X.com. Mindy Nuez Earhart is SSE-LA.com. So that's Sam, that's SSE-LA.com. And Natalie Baranco is at primebase.com. And, or it's, I know it's Prime BAS, so I apologize for that because I know that it's Prime Business Advisory Services, but Prime, P-R-I-M-E, and BAS.com. And just to make sure, since I spelled out everyone else's URL, Dr. Wilborn's URL is Wilborn Clinical Services, W-I-L-B-O-R-N, and then the word clinical, C-L-I-N-I-C-A-L, and services with an S, S-E-R-V-I-C-E-S.com. So do reach out and connect those women as well. And if you're already in the Power Program with Fidelity, well, you can go to the directory and connect with them there. So as a way to wrap up, what's one last piece of advice that you would give to every woman in business listening when it comes to pivoting your business? And Natalie, I would love to start with you.
Sure. I think I just keep echoing kind of the same sentiment. And that is just that, you know, it's changing and it's going to change whether you're going to change or not. So we need to figure out what it is that's going to set you up to be more successful when we're through this into kind of that new normal.
Got it. Great. And Dr. Wilborn, how about yourself?
Related to that, embrace the change and see this pause as possibility and not inhibitions, right? Not something that's going to get in the way. Embrace the change. It's a possibility right now.
Wonderful. And Norma Jean McLean.
So I agree with both Natalie and Dr. Wilborn. I want to add to it though, and I can't emphasize this enough, is along with embracing it, make sure you're embracing your financials and make sure you're well prepared to execute.
I love that. All right. And last but not least, Mindy.
I'm going to piggyback on that and say, you know, this is one of the times when it's always nice to have a little nest egg. So make sure that you're constantly adding to that nest egg and trying to build it, because you never know what is going to happen in the future.
Wow. Great. Really great ideas. And I know that every woman listening is going to get some encouragement, some inspiration, some great new ideas. Thank you all so much for being part of the Power Plug podcast today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
When you meet the right person or gain the right knowledge you need right now for your business, it feels like magic, doesn't it? These kind of magical moments happen every day for over 600 women who are members of our Power Program. I know firsthand because as the director of Power, I talk to members every day and see the magic happen. I'm Liz Brockman and would be happy to talk with you too. To find out more, go to fidelitybankpower.com, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Whew, wow, that was fast. But we hope you are feeling re-energized to power up your business and go after your dreams. Make sure you stay recharged. Subscribe to the Power Plug podcast at fidelitybankpower.com so you can get the latest episode as soon as it comes out. Until next time, keep believing in the power of you, just like we do.